The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from blackenterprise.com. The first article is titled, Student in Standoff with Texas School District After Suspension Over Locks. Texas high school student Daryl George and his family are in the middle of a legal battle that might further prolong his absence from classes after he was disciplined by his school for refusing to cut his locks. George, a black student, argued that his hairstyle did not violate any rules. His family has filed lawsuits alleging that his punishment violates the recently passed Crown Act that became law in Texas in September. The act prevents schools from discriminating against hairstyles based on hair texture and styles such as braids, dreadlocks, or Bantu knots, among other styles. It prohibits race-based hair discrimination in schools. The school district's attorneys have argued that students do not have a federally protected right to wear their preferred hairstyle at school. George was first removed from the classroom in August because his locks were said to be below his eyebrows and earlobes, which was in violation of the district's dress code. After being placed in an off-site disciplinarian program for over a month, the news outlet reported that George recently returned to in-school suspension. His attorney, Allie Booker, worries the result may be the student's expulsion. Booker says George is not going to break and refuses to cut his hair, but remains in disbelief about the experience. During a court hearing on December 13th, Barbers Hill School District Attorney Jonathan Brush said the district has always had their hair restrictions for male students. However, locks have always been permitted. George's family has filed a formal complaint with the Texas Education Agency, a federal civil rights lawsuit against Governor Abbott, Attorney General Paxton, and the school district are also in motion. The lawsuit was filed because the family alleged that the people in the suit did not enforce the Crown Act. The lawsuit is before federal Judge Eskridge. An additional suit has been filed by the school district asking for clarifications by the judge to determine whether their policies violate the Crown Act. This case is now in the hands of a federal judge in Houston because of a motion filed by George's attorney. The legal case remains at a standstill with various motions awaiting a ruling by the federal judge. Booker cannot file for an injunction to halt George's punishment until Eskridge rules on the other motions. Meanwhile, George remains separated from regular classes all because of his locks. Advocates such as Jaleesa Reed, a professor at Cornell University with a research focus on beauty, culture, and identity, argue that attempts to control black hair expression show the need for the Crown Act at the federal level. Reed believes some efforts to control black hair expression are made through policies such as the ones enacted by the Barbers Hill School District. The professor said, rather than punishing students, providing opportunities to learn more about cultural hairstyles could enrich the learning environment and foster acceptance or differences. Despite multiple lawsuits and allegations of discrimination, the standoff over his locks continues. William Sherman, a Washington, D.C. attorney and legal strategist for the Crown Act, said that George's hairstyle, which does not fit the Eurocentric ideal of neat and clean, has led to him being denied an education. The next article is titled, Wayfair CEO Tells His Employees They Need to Work Harder. In an end-of-year message to Wayfair employees in December 2023, CEO Niraj Shah urged staff members to embrace hard work, blend their work with life, and approach spending with a frugal mindset, CNN reports. The message comes as Wayfair, an online furniture company, navigates the challenges of a shifting market landscape. According to CNN, Shah emphasized the importance of hard work, stating, "Winning requires hard work. I believe that most of us, being ambitious individuals, find fulfillment in the joy of seeing our efforts materialize into tangible results." He encouraged employees not to shy away from working long hours and blending work with life, asserting that success is not historically linked to laziness. Addressing the company's financial outlook, Shah acknowledged the challenges faced in 2022 as consumer behavior shifted from online shopping for physical goods to in-person experiences. Wayfair responded by announcing a 5% reduction in its workforce. However, Shah delivered positive news in his recent communication, stating, "Together we can win much faster than we are winning now if we all row in this direction together." He highlighted the company's return to profitability. Shah also urged Wayfair employees to view company spending as their own and adopt a thrifty approach. Would you spend money on that? Would you spend that much money for that thing? Does that price seem reasonable? And lastly, have you negotiated the price? He emphasized in an email obtained by Business Insider. The CEO's message, while motivational for some, raised concerns among experts like Nicholas Bloom, a professor of economics. In an interview with CNN's Richard Quest, Bloom expressed skepticism about the sustainability of a business model requiring employees to work 80 hours a week without a corresponding increase in salaries. "I don't see this as being successful for the typical employee," Bloom noted, pointing out that the job market is strong and employees have alternative opportunities. As the online retail giant seeks to navigate the evolving dynamics of consumer behavior, Shah's leadership emphasizes a proactive and aggressive approach. Wayfair's success during the pandemic's early stages has prompted a renewed focus on profitability and efficiency. The company's ability to adapt to changing market conditions while maintaining a motivated and dedicated workforce remains a critical factor in its future trajectory. A spokesperson from Wayfair was not immediately available to respond to inquiries about employee compensation. The company, with around 15,000 employees as of December 2022 continues to play a significant role in the competitive online retail landscape. The next article is titled Black-Owned Lifestyle Brand Crowdfunds $75,000 with J. Rue and Lauren Holiday Fund Support. In a rare crowdfunding effort, a Black-owned New Jersey lifestyle brand intends to secure $75,000 in financing from the J. Rue and Lauren Holiday Social Impact Fund, JHL, and the Newark Alliance. Newark-based Brown Mill Auctlier, the flagship storefront of Brown Mill Company, recently announced up to $75,000 of all December sales will be paired with the extra funding. In November, Brown Mill Company was selected as a 2023 JHL grantee. JHL vowed to match up to $35,000 in sales to support the company. In December, the Newark Alliance joined the campaign by launching a match of up to $40,000 in sales. Now, the funding could help Brown Mill reach its $100,000 crowdfunding goal before 2024, if it gains the full match from the fund providers. According to Brown Mill's website, over $50,000 has already been raised online. The new funding differs from the usual crowdfunding that typically raises money from many people to finance a business drive or campaign. The brand's products include ethically conscious and environmentally friendly clothing for men and women. Goods are sold online and at its Newark site along Halsey Street, the shopping and entertainment hub in downtown Newark. Brown Mill Auctlier was its first storefront in June 2021 and became an anchor tenant. Since then, the brand's support includes NBA players, including Holiday, Dwayne Wade, and Carmelo Anthony. The fresh funding support will reportedly help propel Brown Mill to the next phase, including potentially assisting in buying a new building, expanding the brand's clothing range, and increasing its sustainability and community impact. Brown Mills projects revenue of $500,000 to $600,000 in 2024. That would compare with 2021 revenue of $327,000 and $350,000 in 2022. Brown Mill says the higher sales could come from upcoming strategic partnerships with major U.S. retailers in 2024. The business also plans next year to expand its reach with various Brown Mill pop-up shops along the West Coast, and is taking the big steps to scale up e-commerce efforts, investing more in digital media and advertising. Brown Mill co-founder and CFO Kwaku added, "And we're not stopping there. We are going international with our first pop-up tour in cities like Toronto, London, Amsterdam, and Accra, marking a pivotal moment in Brown Mill's global journey and history." In terms of community engagement, Brown Mill brand is provocative. For instance, the brand hosts standalone events and event series, including monthly game nights, seasonal festivals and markets, and school supply drives. It also co-sponsors a garden in Newark called Giving 1/10 that provides fresh and organic vegetables to residents. We are immensely grateful for the support the Newark community, JLH, and Newark Alliance have shown towards Brown Mills' growth over the last few years, said Justice Pitt Goodson, co-founder and CEO of Brown Mill Company. We are excited for this crowdfunding campaign to continue our momentum and strengthen the impact our sustainable legacy will have on Halsey Street, Newark, and beyond. Boston Celtics guard and 2021 NBA champion Jeru Holiday and his wife Lauren, a two-time Olympic gold medalist for the U.S. women's national soccer team, launched their social impact fund in 2009 after the COVID-19 pandemic and protests over the murder of George Floyd. Black Enterprise has previously reported on some of their efforts. Fund co-founder Lauren said JLH was formed with the mindset of paying it forward, and the community effort has gone into the crowdfunding campaign has perfectly exemplified what we aim to do. Ashley Mays, chief of place and real estate for the Newark Alliance, commented on Halsey Street and Brown Mill and their positive community impact. We are excited to be part of what's to come for its continued growth and standing as a leading clothing brand in Newark and beyond. The next article is titled Big Dave's Cheesecakes to Bring Philly's Flavor to Florida with Strategic Expansion. Philadelphia's legendary cheesecake flavor is primed to captivate the Sunshine State as Big Dave's Cheesesteaks unveiled an ambitious expansion strategy on December 20th via Instagram. The franchise's collaboration with former Pepsi president Derek Lewis was unveiled during a special event hosted at Breakfast at Barney's in Atlanta, marking a significant step toward bringing the authentic taste of Philly to multiple locations across Florida, as reported by the Quintessential Gentleman. In 2020, Derek Hayes, the originator of Big Dave's Cheesecakes, embarked on a capital-seeking mission for his business. During this pivotal assembly, he crossed paths with Lewis, a former Pepsi executive, establishing a connection that would evolve into a strategic partnership. The primary objective, to extend the reach of the adored cheesesteaks to a wider audience. Hayes, an enthusiast for his Philly roots, couldn't contain his excitement, stating, "When this man said Pepsi out his mouth, I could not shut up because I'm from Philly. And that's what we drink." The impromptu connection resulted in Lewis visiting one of Big Dave's cheesesteaks location just 2 days later. Lewis expressed his enthusiasm for the partnership, saying, "We're here tonight to really kick off what's going to be a partnership. When you announced the franchising deal, I was very intrigued by that. I was very excited about that. For one, because now you get a chance to put all of your hard work and scale." Lewis commented to opening at least 10 locations in Southern Florida as part of the franchise agreement. Reflecting on his journey, Hayes highlighted his rise from challenging circumstances. "I came from the ghetto. Like when you bought your house in the 70s and you paid $7,000 $500 ghetto," he said. Lewis shared his pride in achieving generational success noting that his children now live in a country club. The expansion to Florida is not only a significant milestone for Hayes, but also a testament to his determination to build a legacy. With the strategic partnership with Lewis, Big Dave's Cheesesteaks aims to become a household name in Florida, promising to bring the authentic flavors of Philadelphia to a new and diverse audience. The next article is titled, Black Santa Houston Continues to Shine as a Symbol of Representation in the Holiday Season. While Santa Claus is a mythical religious figure, his presence as a diverse, inclusive symbol of Christmas is as important as ever. Black Santa Houston touches further on being a beacon of representation during the holidays. The man behind the white beard in the Texas city is Kelvin Douglas, who took on playing the role after a desire from Megan Butler Coleman to have her son take a picture with a Santa who looked like him. Although finding the perfect black Santa only came after 2 years of searching, Douglas embarked on the role in 2019 to fulfill the need for the diverse youth of Houston. His success since donning the big red suit has been massive, taking on the Christmas spectacle with pride, as he has been featured on multiple platforms, including the New York Times and Drew Barrymore Show. Of why his representation in this capacity has been pivotal, Douglas spoke to the Griot on what Black Santa means to not only children, but the community. It is crucial because it gives them that reinforcement that they can be anything that they want to be, and that's important, explained Douglas. So when they begin to see Black Santas and Black doctors and Black lawyers and Black teachers, they know that they can also become that themselves, and even a Black president. It is important that Black children always see themselves reflected in society. Families have traveled from all over the country to get their Christmas pictures with the all-Black family of Santa Claus, as Black Santa Houston has since expanded to add on performers as Mr. and Mrs. Claus, in addition to securing a commercial space for the booming business, with Houston now servicing as the North Home. This inclusive and uplifting Santa experience is providing an overdue representation for all. For those wanting to carry on the joy at home, the company has also launched Sleepwear Line, complete with the melanated figure printed on the clothes, so that Black Santa can continue to be a part of the holiday tradition. The next article is titled, Three Investment Gifts for Kids That Cost as Little as $20. Tis the season when children lose their minds and actually visualize their parents as walking, talking ATMs with no direct ties to Santa Claus. Visions of sugar plums and visions of them playing their favorite new video game or running through the neighborhood in their new KDs not only dance through their heads, but they seem unable to utter a single sentence without somehow getting in and ask. Quote unquote. Each holiday season, I usually make my 10-year-old son figure out which company makes the majority of the stuff he wants, and I buy a share of stock in that company for him. Over the past few years, he has received shares of Nike, Microsoft, and Apple, to name a few. You can do this at sites like Give a Share or unique stocked gift. In addition to the stock, which comes with a beautiful certificate that you order framed or frame yourself to save a few dollars, it's gotten him into the habit of wanting to be an investor and a consumer. I remember one year after giving him a share of Nike stock and explaining that he is now a partial owner of the company and shares in the company's profits, he encouraged several of his friends to buy Nike sneakers, in addition to making a case to me that I should buy even more of the shoes for him to make him financially sound in the future. A few gift ideas. 1. Investment accounts. As his interest in investing has grown, I decided to up the ante this year. I opened an investment account for him at TD Ameritrade Online in a matter of minutes. You can open online brokerage accounts at TD Ameritrade for as little as $50. I bought him 2 shares of Vanguard's Information Technology Exchange Traded Fund, ETF, which trades under the stock symbol VGY. This allows him to have little pieces of companies like Apple, AAPL, Microsoft, MSFT, and Facebook, FB. Be sure to do a Google search to find the latest information on the company from reputable financial websites like Morningstar or MarketWatch. TD Ameritrade's site also provides market research and information on its site. When you go to TD Ameritrade, you'll need to select the option allowing you to be the account custodian for a minor. They are called UTMAs, Uniform Transfer to Act, or UGMAs, Uniform Gift to Minors Account. You'll also need the minor's social security number. Honestly, this process took a matter of minutes. Again, invest in something your child can relate to and encourage them to add allowances and financial presence to this account. Exchange traded funds, ETFs in their area of interest, and mutual funds are always a good bet as they come with professional management. Be sure to check out the fees. The company's online chat and easily accessed customer service make the process easy. Number 2, Spark Gift. While my gift was intended to get my child to invest on a regular basis, if you want to give a one-time gift of stock or ETFs, a Spark gift is a great option. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.